Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 18:24 says, "A person has many friends to socialize with, but there is one who loves him who stays closer than a brother." Friendship is an important topic in the book of Proverbs, as it addresses a large portion of the kind of relationships we have in life. If you think about it, outside of immediate family, you probably have more friends that you spend time with than with relatives or coworkers or acquaintances or other people. However, some people just have a friend or two, so this ratio can't be applied universally. Everyone's friend circles look different. Well, here in Proverbs 18:24, it says that a person has many friends to socialize with. If you read this verse in a few other modern English versions, you will quickly realize that most of them read vastly different than this. This is because there is an uncertainty about the meaning of the Hebrew word translated to socialize with. There's another verbal root that means to break in pieces. And so some modern versions read, "One with many friends may be harmed," Christian Standard Bible. Or, "There are companions who harm one another," New English Translation. Or, "A person of too many friends comes to ruin," New American Standard Bible. These are legitimate translations, but the reason to choose one definition of the Hebrew over another is based on the context and the relationship produced by the parallelism with the second line. If a person sees the contrast in the antithetic parallelism to be focused on the harm that some friends can cause versus the help that a true friend can bring, then the meaning of to be broken or ruined is to be preferred. But if the parallelism is between the unreliable character of fair-weather friends versus the trustworthy and reliable character of a true friend, then the meaning of to socialize with or to associate with is better suited to convey that contrast. It seems that the preferred parallelism is best determined by seeing a reciprocal contrast to the second line, which speaks of a steady, reliable friend who will be there for you at all times. Such a reciprocal contrast would be a superficial, untrustworthy friend, not friends that would bring harm upon you. Therefore, it's probably best to see the meaning of the Hebrew as conveying that a person has friends with whom they simply associate with, but lack any depth of commitment and loyalty to you. What the first line is saying, then, is that there are friends that you just hang out with. I mean, you socialize with them, but who are not particularly close to you and would likely not be reliable to call upon if you needed help. The wisdom behind this statement is that it is important to recognize that some friends only seek to be with you for social reasons and will withdraw the moment your friendship becomes inconvenient or too disadvantageous for them. In contrast to this sort of superficial, unreliable friend, the proverb goes on to say that there is one who loves him who stays closer than a brother. We could translate the second line as, "But a true friend stays closer than a brother." What is being described here is not just a friend who enjoys spending time with you socially, which is the type of friend the first line describes, but a friend who loves you and who will stay closer to you than even one of your siblings. The difference is that a true friend stays by your side even when it's not to their benefit or any fun. True friends stick with you no matter what comes. The Hebrew word translated "stays closer" literally means to cling or cleave to something or someone. It connotes completely committing oneself to another in the sense that nothing can separate you from them. We have some phrases in modern English that convey a similar depth of devotion to someone. For example, the saying, "I'm with you through thick or thin." Or how about, "I'm with you till the end." Or, "I'm with you come hell or high water." These sayings describe a friend who will stand with you no matter what the circumstances and in the face of whatever difficulties or challenges may arise. For those of us that have brothers or sisters, I hope that we can recall a time while growing up when we were especially close to one of our siblings. But if you are a single child, you might have relatives or friends who do have a brother or sister. Imagine the deep bond that can exist between siblings in a family. Consider how brothers often look out for each other and stand up for each other in the face of bullies at school, or how they can help develop their athletic skills by practicing with each other day after day in the field or gym. Or how about sisters who will often talk together and confide in each other and listen with compassion to what the other is going through? As close as a person might be with one of their own siblings in their family, a true friend, that is, one who loves you, can be even closer to you, more committed and resolved to face whatever may come than even your brother or sister. I remember a time when one of my brother's friends were picking on me after school one day. My brother actually joined in, and he thought it was funny what they were doing. However, very soon, one of my close friends came to my aid and defended me against their ridicule and stood by me while they were trying to make fun of me and get a good laugh out of it. You see, while my brother might stand up for me in certain situations, it typically does not extend to all circumstances. On the other hand, it was one of my best friends who I could trust and knew that they would stick by my side even in the face of my own brother taunting me. There is another proverb that addresses how you can tell a true friend apart from mere social friends. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for times of distress." Even though the same Hebrew word is used for friend here, the type of friend referred to in this proverb is one who loves at all times. This is a true friend, not one of those superficial, "I'm here as long as you're fun to be around and it doesn't cost me anything" type of friends that are mentioned in Proverbs 18:24, who are only seeking social interaction but have no real interest in getting involved in your life or ever helping you if you really need them. The friend in Proverbs 17:17 is one who demonstrates constancy in their affection and loyalty to you. They are not a fleeting or fair-weather friend. An interesting aspect of this proverb that is implicit is that a friend chooses to love at all times, including times of hardship and adversity. But a brother or sister, or could be a relative, they're born into solidarity with their family. What this means is that a sibling or relative is expected to help simply by virtue of their biological and familial connection to you. This is different than a friend who voluntarily chooses to involve themselves in solidarity with you. In the ancient Israelite culture, there was an inherent expectation of family to look out for each other and to help each other when they were in need. I think this attitude and culture is still prevalent in our modern day, but perhaps not to the extent that it was in ancient Israel. Also, different cultures and regions in the world preserve this way of thinking to different degrees. What is important to perceive in the proverb is the notion that a friend willingly involves themselves in your life and to be there for you, not out of any biological or cultural necessity or expectation, but by their own choice and because they love you. That is what a true friend is, someone who cares about you and is willing to stick it out with you out of love because you mean a lot to them. They are there for you in the good times and bad. In order to illustrate this proverb, I want to use a scene from the epic fictional trilogy, The Lord of the Rings. The main character in The Lord of the Rings is a small hobbit named Frodo Baggins, who lives in a small shire in the countryside. For anyone wondering what a hobbit is, a hobbit is an imaginary race of people similar to humans, but who are short and have hairy feet. Well, in the beginning of the story, Frodo inherits a powerful, magical ring called the One Ring from his uncle Bilbo, a ring that has the power to enslave the world, but it corrupts the will of all who wear it towards selfish and evil desires. Upon receiving this ring and understanding what it truly is, Gandalf the Wizard, who was visiting Frodo, he commissions Frodo and tells him that he must carry the ring far away into the region of Mordor in order to destroy it by casting it into the volcanic fires of Mount Doom, where it was forged. In addition, Frodo's gardener, Samwise Gamgee, and two of his friends, Merry and Pippin, are also enlisted by Gandalf to escort and protect Frodo on this journey. And thus the story begins as these four hobbits leave the Shire and set off on a long journey to Mordor to destroy the ring and save the world. Over the course of many subsequent tales in this grand adventure that Frodo and Sam and Merry and Pippin embark on, they're joined by a number of other individuals who are willing to aid them in their quest. Well, to make a long story shorter, The Lord of the Rings is a massive saga that follows all the adventures, dangers, battles, enemies, and even internal strife among the group who are seeking to help Frodo and to make it to Mount Doom. Frodo and the cohort that join him have to overcome seemingly impossible odds to make it into the enemy territory of the Dark Lord Sauron in Mordor. After what seems like an endless journey, and after losing or having to leave behind all their comrades who helped them get to Mordor, Frodo and Sam continue on in their quest alone. Their remaining comrades are taking a final stand at the Black Gate against Sauron and his minions as a diversion so that Frodo and Sam can begin climbing Mount Doom without Sauron noticing. Frodo and Sam are utterly exhausted from their struggles to make it this far. It seems like they've traveled across the world and have faced the greatest perils and most unbelievable enemy forces of the Dark Lord Sauron, who wants the ring for himself so that he can use its power to conquer and rule the world. And so, close to the climax of the story, there in Mordor, on the slopes of Mount Doom, Frodo collapses. His friend, Sam, kneels down, and he pulls Frodo toward himself and cradles him in his arms. Then, with a tender and gentle demeanor to comfort his wearied friend, Sam says, "Do you remember the Shire, Mr. Frodo? It'll be spring soon, and the orchards will be in blossom, and the birds will be nesting in the hazel thicket, and they'll be sowing the summer barley in the lower fields, and eating the first strawberries with cream. Do you remember the taste of strawberries, Frodo?" Frodo, gasping, "No, Sam, I can't recall the taste of food, nor the sound of water, or the touch of grass. I'm naked, in the dark. There's nothing, no veil between me and the Wheel of Fire. I can see him with my waking eyes." With determination, Sam proclaims, "Then let us be rid of it," referring to the ring, "once and for all." With increasing fervor, Sam exclaims, "Come on, Mr. Frodo, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." And then Sam picks up Frodo, who is too weak to walk, and lays him over his shoulder and carries him step by step up the slope of Mount Doom toward the summit. I think this scene illustrates the kind of friend that Proverbs 18:24 and 17:17 are talking about. Sam was so determined to be rid of this great evil and to save his friend that he decides to heroically carry the overwhelming weight of Frodo and the power of the ring up such a great distance. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to show his loyalty and resolve to help Frodo even under such dire and fearful circumstances. What Sam exhibited was a friend who loves at all times and who stays closer than a brother. When it seemed like they had gone as far as they could and the hope of victory was slipping away, Sam's actions declared that he would not let his friend fail or do it on his own. He was there with Frodo to the end, no matter what. Therefore, we must realize that not every friend in our lives will be like a Samwise Gamgee, nor will we be a Sam to every one of our friends either. There is a spectrum of friendships in life, and to recognize this fact is important. To be able to discern who are your friends to socialize with and who are your friends that will stay closer than a brother is a sign of wisdom and understanding, and which can prevent unnecessary heartache and disappointment by not putting our trust in supposed friends who are with us when the winds are calm, but are nowhere to be found when the waves are crashing in and the boat begins to sink. It is wise to depend upon your friends who love you at all times and will stand by you no matter what. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.